Up next, the awakened dreamer, how to remember and interpret your dreams. Kayla Ambrose back with us on Coast to Coast, and we'll get right into it. By the way, in our last hour, in addition to your questions, she will try to interpret your own dreams if they're strange enough. So keep that in mind. The awakened dreamer, Kayla Ambrose with us, your travel guide to the other side. She is a renowned intuitive coach, award-winning author, spiritual wisdom teacher. Kayla helps entrepreneurs, seekers, and visionaries live their best life that they can. She's considered to be one of the country's foremost experts on mystic spirituality and intuitive ability, has taught thousands around the globe how to connect with their soul path and create a life that is in tune with their purpose and their goals. She was on with me a couple years ago as we talked about the awakened psychic, and now we talk about the awakened dreamer. Kayla, welcome back.
Hi, thanks so much for having me back.
I'm looking forward to this.
Hey, what
was your response to the Awakened Psychic when you were on with us a few years ago?
It was wonderful. I received so many emails and people reaching out and talking about it and how much they loved the book and that it was an easy tutorial, a way to show them how to tap into their psychic abilities. And that's really what I'm passionate about now, George, because we have really changed since 2012 as to what psychics used to see and what we see now. If psychics, you know, will be honest with you, they'll tell you it's changed, it's different, and the way we see the future is different. And so everybody now needs to learn how to do it for themselves and be their own psychic in that way. So I had a wonderful response from it and being able to share that with people and talk about how we went into a void, a time where it's a dark time right now. You know, when we look back in history, we'll see that. But it's because the future is moving us into this new evolution. And I started talking about that in the first book, The Awakened Aura, and how our aura was preparing us with this energy field being built around us, this grid that's going to help us evolve and become more psychic and other things too, and be able to move through different dimensions and time. And that's where we're heading. And so now, as a psychic, years ago, I could see the future for a person 20 years ahead, and it was pretty standard. What you would see would happen. And now I see possibilities, but it's like a network. And as soon as the person changes their mind or their thoughts, all of it rearranges itself. And it's like looking at a different display. And that's what's changing now with all of us. I see patterns and possibilities, and it ping-pongs around, changing instantly. So a psychic can tell you that you're heading in a direction, because that's maybe where you're putting your thoughts and energy right now. But if you wake up tomorrow and you feel differently, it's going to change everything. And, you know, a lot of that happened with karma, how that changed. And karma used to be carried from, the old saying, the sins of the father or the sins of the son.
Exactly. They carry on, right?
Yes. And now karma happens within days, within hours sometimes. So the old Akashic records that had to keep all of this and bring us this karma from lifetimes, we've eaten all that up, and that's the hard work we've been doing. And now if we do something, the karma really comes back so quickly that we're not holding it in the old Akashic records anymore. So we're really, I know it's a mess right now, but we're in the wild, wild west again. We're forging new territory. We're like the old saying, go where no man has gone before. This is a new frontier. And so a lot of these old ways aren't working the same anymore. Even those I speak with that work in the old magic, they say it's shifting and rearranging and self-identifying in new patterns now. And I'm so passionate about talking to people about that, because it seems like we're in a space where we want to put the genie back in the bottle. We keep saying, let's make it like the good old days again. But I got to tell you, we're not going back there again. That door is closed and sealed off. And 2012 was a marker of that time. It was the ending of the world, just not as we, you know, people were taking it too literally. But the sun marked that time and space. We entered the void. And that's why we're feeling so lost right now. We're waiting for the new to settle in. We're wandering around. We're feeling alone. We're uncomfortable. And those on the other side are just as anxious, because they don't really know how it's going to play out either. This is new territory for us all.
Well, and people not only feel lost, but they also feel angry, and it's a weird time, Kayla.
It is, and it's because, you know, we're not hardwired to accept change. We're hardwired to know what we know, stay in our safe zone, and protect those that we love. and take care of ourselves. So when life completely has turned upside down, which is what it feels like on every level, we're not hardwired to accept this and go, yay, change, that's great. I have no clue what's going to happen. That's fantastic. So none of us are celebrating it. So for many of us, you know, we let fear take over. And it's a dark time right now because we are in this void. And for some of us, we can let that darkness consume us if we give into it. But what I like to say, and what I tried to say in the third book here in the series, From the Aura to the Awakened Psychic and now the Awakened Dreamer, is go back to that, you know, parables were written as children's books and nursery rhymes. And I go back to row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 life is but a dream. And when we can do that and let go of the fear and realize that it's just what it is right now, the only constant in life is change. We're in immense change. And I think we chose as souls to come back down here during this time, that we had the strength and the moxie to go through all of this, knowing we were ushering in this big time. And the age of the guru or a master or someone telling you what to do is over as far as a teacher. It's now time to be your own guide and to find your true north. And I try to be a guide to help. I write about it. I teach about it. I talk about it. But that's really what, since the ancient mystery schools, the same teachings are still the same. Go within. The answers lie within. You have the wisdom. You have the key. And we've just forgotten about it because the world's so chaotic and pulled us in so many directions. But when you slow down, when you take a big breath, when you don't buy into everything and all the fear, you can still hear that voice inside and get that guidance. And whether it comes to you in your dreams, or you want to activate your psychic ability like we talked about last time, or go through your aura and or as an empath, I'm teaching an empath conference this weekend, whichever way it works for you, there's that voice there that wants to guide you. And it's your higher self. It's that inner knowing. And there's, I think, a lot of calmness in that and strength, because you know you're not alone. You know that you have a higher self that knows more, sees more, and that can guide you, and that you're
right.
Going to get through it.
How did you get involved in dreams and dream interpretation?
Since I was little, I would wake up every night remembering dreams, and I would tell my parents, and they didn't know what to do with a lot of the dreams. They were very specific sometimes, and I would remember at least 3 dreams a night. So I think I was like 7 or 8 years old when I started my first dream diary, and I would write them down and draw pictures when I woke up and try to think about, you know, what it meant. And I started having more what we'd call prophetic dreams, and my parents started to pay attention. I write about that in the book, a story of begging my parents to let the dog come inside. At that time, you know, our dog was an outside dog, and years ago, and I just said, someone's going to take our dog, and they didn't believe me. They thought I just wanted him inside, and everything I described the next morning had come true. The fence had been broken down at the gate, geez. And the dog was gone. And so they began to pay attention. And then I had a very troubling dream about a family member that was going to pass. And I was really young still and had no knowledge of what was going on with this person. And they weren't really sick. And everything that I described to my parents came true. So at that point, they started to realize that there was more going on, and I did too. And I've paid attention to my dreams ever since, and that's how I ended up classifying, really, these diaries I started as a kid. And I'd realize dreams would come in 4 different ways. I would call them daily life dreams, like things you're working out that troubled you during the day, and your subconscious is helping you, figure them out. And then there were teaching dreams where I would go the other side and learn things. And then there were prophetic dreams, like I would have things coming through. And the 4th kind of dreams I would have would be visitation dreams, where loved ones and spirit and others would come to visit me through my dreams, because it's a easy way to communicate. They're wanting to communicate with us all the time on the other side. But usually when we're awake, we're so busy and our mind's clouded and they just can't get our attention. But when we're relaxed in the dream state, it's much easier for loved ones and spirit and others to come through.
Did you get better and better and better at dreams and interpretation as the years went by?
I did. And like anything, if you're interested in it, you practice more, right? You pay more attention, you study. And I studied some. I learned more about lucid dreaming. I realized I was already lucid dreaming. And I studied with some mystery schools, with teachers, and a lot of different things starting again when I was young, when I think I was like 13, I went to my mother and said, it's time for my formal education in astrology. And she just kind of laughed. And I said, I'm ready now. And I was just such a peculiar little kid like that. And so she let me study astrology. And then a few years later, I'm like, I'm ready to read tarot cards, find me a teacher. And, you know, she would do it, thankfully. And with my dreams, I always kept the notes. But then as I was studying in the mystery schools, and I learned how to astral travel and remote view and things like that, then I began to understand more with lucid dreaming, what was going on, and to practice it. And then spent years doing that and being active in my dreams and kind of connecting it with astral travel in that way, too, and mixing it all together, which has been fascinating.
I have been dreaming, of course, as everybody does, but I haven't had a lot where I remember lately, and I don't know why. What do you think's going on?
Well, I think you have to, first of all, program yourself. You have to, yes, we remember some dreams, and usually they're ones that are very intense or stressful, but you can program yourself, your mind, to remember your dreams. And it's the same similar advice like people say if you want to talk to a spirit guide, that you have to ask. The same thing with your mind and your higher self. I give simple exercises in the book that explain that before you go to bed, as you're relaxing, you set the intention that I would like to remember my dreams. Please help me remember my dreams. And you kind of tell yourself, I'm going to wake up when I have a dream that I want to remember. And I recommend you keep a notebook or a recorder, whichever works for you, by the bed. And then the more that you ask and go to bed with that conscious intention, the more likely it'll begin that you'll wake up and remember that dream. And if you can wake yourself up enough to write it down or draw a picture or scribble something and say, I want to remember this more, even when I wake up, you begin to train your mind and you'll become better and better at it too. Remember, I remember at least 3 dreams a night. I met people that remember even more. So not only can you program yourself to remember, you can program your mind what you want to dream about. I give examples of exercises you can do to meet others on the other side if you want, or engage in conversations, or even program your mind to work out a question or a problem you're dealing with in the dream and to get that answer. And I move from that part into not just dreams at night, but daydreams, and how so many visionaries and brilliant scientists and inventors and entrepreneurs would use a daydream where they would just go into a daydream in a light sleep for about 10 minutes, asking a question to a problem, and then wake up kind of with a eureka moment, like, I've got it, and how powerful that is. We really, like we talk about with so much of the mind, have only explored a small amount. We're capable of so many incredible things. And you can even use your dreams to access the global consciousness and pull energy from there and thoughts and travel anywhere you want to go, really.
Well, they talk about everyone dreams and how often do they dream. How do they know? I mean, how do they know what you're doing in your dream state?
Well, sleep studies, you know, and researchers do a lot of investigative work into this, and they follow the REM patterns, how the eyes are moving and the speed, and when they see that you're in a dream state. And people volunteer for those studies where they're woken up and asked, you know, were you dreaming now? What do you remember? And they look at the different stages of your sleep and how many times you sleep during an average sleep cycle. And so there's been a lot of studies about that. But going back to the ancient, you know, mystery schools and ancient oracles, in the old days, in Turkey and Greece and all those places, they had temples where you could go and dream, and there would be dream interpreters there that would sit by. And
really?
Yes, and you could read about that in the history books. Don't take my word for it.
You'd wake up and tell them what your dream was,
yeah,
and they'd interpret it for you.
And that's how they began any healing practices. So you could go and just, and if you had a troublesome dream, you could just check into one of these temples, and sometimes they were by the side of the road, and share your dream and they'd interpret it. Or you could stay overnight and sleep and have the dream and talk about it with the interpreter. Or if you were really having other problems and you were plagued by it, maybe it had, you were having physical problems as well, then you might check into one of these places like a healing temple and stay they would first interpret your dream to see what was going on, because they understood the mind-body-spirit connection. And so what was troubling you would come out in your dreams, and that would help them then to diagnose the physical ailments that you were suffering and combine all three, mind, body, and spirit, together to help you heal on all three levels. And I really think we're going back to that in the future.
There's no question, in your dream state, you can do a lot of powerful things.
Yes.
And by being able to do these incredibly powerful things, do they make you a better person?
Well, they can, right? It's all intention and what you want to put into your dreams and do. But I've worked with a lot of people and have a lot of clients all over the world that we begin by working in their dreams to help them visualize and manifest what they want. And one of our biggest blocks in this lifetime is, you know, when we're in the logic part of the brain saying this isn't possible or we can't do this, and then we work in that dream state to see that all things are possible. And as you dream it and work on that and combine it during daydreams with visualizations, it does empower you to become more. And it's not much different, really, than what a lot of athletic coaches have their people do when they're training them for the Olympics or to play pro sports, where they visualize themselves and they dream about it, you know, winning the game or getting, you know, the winning shot of whatever it is. It's the same type of thing, that the mind is that powerful, and it can be trained to focus on that. And once we believe it, it's pretty much then possible with most things. And we only limit ourselves by our beliefs. And it's not really our fault. It's what we've kind of been shown and taught, and where the world's at any time. Some, if we look in history, sometimes they're more open. Sometimes it's a Renaissance period, and sometimes it's the Dark Ages, right? So we move cyclically like that through history. And when we know more, we do more.
When you talk about dreams being organized into different categories, what are they?
Like the daily life, where you're working through things that are troubling you. And so in your dream, your subconscious and your higher consciousness kind of bring it out to play and work it out in the dream. And if you're not able to release it emotionally during the day, maybe you really want to tell that person off, but they're your boss, so you couldn't, right? So in your dream, you might work it out that way, where you're really, saying what you want to say. So there's a lot of daily life that just helps us release that energy from within us. And then there's the prophetic dreams, where you may dream of something to come that's going to happen for you or others. There's all kinds of studies where people pick up things in the global consciousness and dream about them before they happen. Hurricanes, very famous deaths like Princess Diana, things like that. There's reports of people dreaming about this days before, because time is, you know, as we know, it's a third dimensional thing, and dreams don't have to stay in 3D. So they can pick up on that in the global consciousness. There's teaching dreams, where we go to the other side and we are shown things if we're open to it, and run through scenarios that give us a different type of idea about how to do something. So instead of just having the daily life dream, like the first example, where maybe you're just angry about what happened with your boss, in a teaching dream, someone from the other side, or even your higher self, might be working with you to find a different answer, a different way to handle that situation in the future. And then the visitation dreams are when loved ones or other beings and those in spirit come to talk to us and visit us in our dreams, because it's easier for them to get through. You'll hear people waking up and saying, finally, Aunt Edna showed me that it's in her old coffee pot or something, whatever they were.
Exactly. Hey, stay with us, Kayla. We're going to come back in a moment and talk more about dreams on Coast to Coast AM. We are back with Kayla Ambrose as we talk about her latest work, The Awakened Dreamer. And what do you mean by the title, Kayla?
Well, The Awakened is part of a series that I'm writing for my publisher, Llewellyn. And it started with The Awakened Aura, The Awakened Psychic, and now The Awakened Dreamer. And The Awakened is being consciously aware that it's not just about, oh, that was an interesting dream, why did that happen? Or, oh, that I'd like to see a psychic? Or, is the aura really a thing? Awakened is where you're taking control. You're stepping into this. You're learning about it. You're absorbing it into your life. You're seeing what your dreams are about and able to change them if you want, work with them, interpret them if you want. It's all about you stepping into it and being your own personal power in each of these types of things.
Well, now let's talk a little bit about what you have called prophetic and recurring dreams. How do we know they're prophetic until, I guess, you remember you had that dream, let's say, 2 months ago, and then the event occurs, and you go, wow, I dreamt that. But, I mean, how can we tell a little quicker than that?
Well, for people, after the first one, you pretty much know, because a lot of times when it happens, it's not really anything really affecting you at the time. It's for someone else, and you're like, I didn't know that about that person, or I didn't think about this. I can tell you, like, some earlier ones for me, going back in high school, I woke up from a dream one night where my friend's mom, I saw her getting in an accident. I called my friend and said, please don't let your mom go into work this morning. There's going to be an accident. She's going to be hurt. She's going to break her arm.
Wow.
And, you know, so I had never really talked about that in high school. I was just trying to be a popular kid. I didn't want to be talking about these things, but it was so strong, I just knew. She didn't believe me, and
Didn't tell the mother, right?
No, she didn't. And her mom got in an accident that day, and everything that I said happened. And
she broke her arm?
Yeah.
Oh.
And my friend, instead of coming to me and saying, oh, I wish, you know, I had listened or whatever, she was like, what are you? What's wrong with you? It was very hard for me, you know, at that point, because I was just trying to help. And coming out of the closet, the broom closet, as I, you know, joke about now. But I had a dream about Katrina. And when I was dreaming about Hurricane Katrina, this was the storm. It was in the Atlantic. It was nowhere near New Orleans. And I'm from Louisiana, so that dream was very potent and powerful for me because my roots are there. That's where I grew up. And I was trying to tell people and warn them, and they just, there's not like a you know, besides calling you, George, there's no one else really I could call and say, hey, I'm having this dream. Can we do something about it? And, you know, I wish there were where people could turn in their dreams like that. But I was seeing it. I was almost sick for days. That's all I would see is what was happening. And so you try to warn people as you can. And it's usually things like that. I have clients that I work with. A lot of my clients, I do business intuition. I help them see future trends for their business. So a lot of them are investors or on Wall Street or some are in politics. Just they want to see trends, and that's really a lot of the work that I do is an intuitive. And I had a client that I wasn't thinking about. I hadn't talked to him in a couple months, and I had a dream that night that he was doing this big product launch at his work, and something was wrong with it. And the dream was very specific. So I called him and said, look, I've had this dream. There's a problem with your product. Here's what it is. I don't even understand what your product is, but here's where the problem is. And he had worked with me enough. He followed up on it. And sure enough, if they had released it, then there was a problem and it wouldn't have worked. And so, you know, that's nothing I knew about or thought about. So when you dream like that, you pay attention, you know, pretty quickly that it's prophetic because you have no other way of knowing. And
seems like that happens to you a lot.
I think it's part of, you know, what I'm supposed to, and I'm very aligned with business for some sense. My mother would tell the story, I fell asleep in her room one night, and she worked in the oil and gas industry, and she was on the phone, and I couldn't hear the other person. I was asleep, first of all, but the other person was talking on the phone to her, and she had been out looking in Texas at these you know, the refineries there, and there were some problems, and they were going over the maps and trying to figure out, and I started giving the answers and like sleep talking, and my mother was like, shush, shush, because she was on the phone. Then she realized I was asleep, and then she realized I was giving answers, and I've done that for programming for things with, oh gosh, I was talking about things back with Sun Microsystems and something with things I've answered programming, things I don't know anything about at that level. And it just shows when we're in that state that whether it's intuitive or dreaming, that the answers are kind of all out there for all of us. And when we attune our mind, we can pick them up.
They're out there indeed. Now let's talk about, of course, how can you tune yourself to remember these dreams?
Yes, and also I wanted to say, too, you answered about recurring. And recurring dreams, I just wanted to say real quick, are very important to pay attention to because they're trying to get your attention and give you a message, whether it's for you or someone else. So it is really important to write those down, pay attention to them, because they will continue to recur until you can figure out the answer. And once you do or it happens, then they'll stop. But up till then, they can really be troubling for a lot of people. So,
how many dreams allow you to do things in your dream state that you might not otherwise have done when you were awake.
Absolutely. And I teach that because once you learn to be awake in your dreams, where your consciousness is aligned to the fact that you're dreaming, you can lucid dream and then you can act that dream. You can stop a dream. You can say, I don't want to have this scenario again. You in that dream, you're out of here. Go. You can replace someone. You can stop the dream and say, I don't want to dream this anymore. You can bring in other characters. You can change the setting. I've worked with a lot of clients to help them when they were having nightmares, you know, or scary dreams.
Yeah.
Like, people have a dream a lot about being chased, and they never see what it is chasing them, but they know it's not good, and they're always, like, either in a forest or in a home that's creepy, right? And they're just afraid the thing's going to catch them. And I will help them to finally be awake enough in the dream to turn around and face whatever it is and say, what do you want? And I write about many examples of that in the book. And there was a guy I worked with who was always chased by a wolf. And he finally turned around and stopped and yelled at the wolf and said, what is it? What do you want? And the wolf got really docile at that point and turned into like a puppy and just wanted to be acknowledged and loved, and nothing like he thought the scary dream he was having all the time. So a lot of times we're avoiding something, and when we can turn around and face it in the dream, it's something we've been avoiding within ourselves that we're not dealing with emotionally. So sometimes facing it in your dreams can be a safer way to work through that and, you know, and get to that. Or see why you're scared of something in a house and what you're hiding from. They're usually hints like that, or what we're hiding from inside or don't want to deal with. And so it comes out one way or another. It's going to come out. So it's better just to get it out if you can and deal with it.
When people dream about their departed loved ones, are they dreaming about them, or are the departed loved ones actually visiting them?
Such a good question. It can be both. The difference I find is when you're having a visitation, as I call it, it's not just a dream about a loved one. I've had both, and sometimes you just miss them so much you're dreaming about them, or you're working through your grief, or you're, you know, it's a special time, a holiday or anniversary, so you're wanting to connect with them and you dream about them or you dream about a memory. When they come to visit, it feels very different. There's an energy around them, and most times people will remember those dreams very vividly. And what they remember is feeling just like almost being surrounded in energy and love, and it's a little overpowering. And you wake up having felt like the person was in the room. It's almost like you feel their energy there. And so if you've ever had that, you know it, and you'll know forever the difference. And that's the difference between a visitation and just a dream, because you're missing them, you know, and thinking about them.
And how do you categorize nightmares, Kayla?
Oh, gosh. You know, and I'd say there's categories within categories of all of these, really. But nightmares are anything that are, you know, troubling, upsetting, causing you to wake up, or your heart's racing, or you feel a lot of anxiety when you're having them. And some of them are things you're working out that are troubling you. But sometimes, honestly, George, if you've eaten like a heavy dinner late at night or too much pizza and beer and go to sleep, you can have nightmares that really aren't about anything than just the digestion system takes over and needs to process that pizza and beer and causes you to have funny dreams like that. Or when you're sick, too, you can have a lot of troubling dreams, but they don't really mean anything when you're sick or feverish or if you've eaten a heavy meal at night. But the other ones are usually, you know, 9 times out of 10 are usually you trying to work through something that's troubling you.
And are you able to accomplish a lot of things in your dream state?
I think so, especially when you're awake, as I say, and you're dealing with it. Once you can remember them, then you can program your mind. And I give, you know, tips on how to do that, that you set a schedule at night where you're going to go to bed, and you pick a night where you're like, okay, tonight I want to, you know, focus on remembering my dreams. And you can even use a scent. Scent is really powerful. more than any of our senses, really. And you can smell something, use some type of aromatherapy, where you assign a scent that you're going to associate that when I smell this, I'm going to remember my dream. So you might pick that particular scent, one that you don't use, you know, around your home in other ways, and you inhale that, and you consciously announce to yourself that I'm going to remember my dreams tonight. And then when you go to sleep, you try not to have anything else around you that's on, like the TV or, you know,
right,
things like that.
Anything to interrupt you?
Of course.
The person who remembers their dreams, are they a little more spiritual than somebody else? Where would you categorize them?
Not necessarily. It's a practice that some people do practice for their spiritual, you know, enlightenment, but others are just interested in knowing themselves at a deeper level, whether it's spiritual or not, with even to understand just how their dreams can give them clues to how they can be, you know, a better work or whatever they want to. So not necessarily spiritual, but it does seem to have a spiritual effect on people if they do it.
Some people will get emotional in their dreams, Kayla. They'll cry and things like that. What causes that?
Well, when you're getting emotional, just like when you're feeling fear in a dream, it's working all of that out at those levels. And sometimes you're holding on to really deep-seated things that have caused trauma or grief or anxiety, and you've expressed as much as you can or that you're willing to do outwardly when you're awake, and the dream becomes a place to let you let the rest of it out in a kind of a controlled environment.
Why does it seem that so many great professionals, scientists, have always had great dreams?
I think because they understand the power of their dreams, and maybe some of them were born with it, you know, where those dreams meant things. But the more that you live in the creative part of the brain on that side, the more that when you're creative, you're a creator, you're an inventor, you're an entrepreneur, you're having these big ideas, and you're activating your intuition as well. So you're activating that side that's already in that more dreamy state. So it's a natural process that more would come out in the dreams as well, because you're kind of aligned with that side of the brain and open to that information to flow through in that kind of, dreamy way.
Well, Kayla, does a mass audience generally dream of things that could be happening, tragic or otherwise?
Yes. And, you know, I served on the board of directors for a research center for several years where a lot of study was done with that, with parapsychology and things of that nature. And someone that I talked to once, Dr. Roger Nelson, who used to run the PAIR Lab.
Right, he's been on the show before.
Yeah, so you know about his eggs and how he monitors that with global
the
consciousness.
The Princeton eggs, right?
Yes. And so, you know, he's a scientist who's actively kind of tracking that and showing the global consciousness and how people pick up on it in the dream state. And, you know, he sees that usually 3 days before it happens, whether it's the death of someone famous or a big storm or a big upsetting thing around the world somewhere, that we pick up on those things. And I cite a case study in my book about all the people in Wales. I think it was like back in like 1960s, and all these children dreamed about being in blackness in their school, and they were scared to go to school. They begged not to go to school, and that was a small town in Wales where there was a massive coal slide, and it covered the school and killed the children inside. And the children had mass and groups dreamed about this happening for in the days before.
Wow, you do remarkable work. And have you found that lately these dreams are getting more and more specific or not?
It depends on the person. A lot of people, you know, right now just feel so overwhelmed that their mind is so consumed with worry and concerns about things the way the world is right now.
Sure. And that's natural.
Yes. So they're not able to really pay attention to their dreams. And those that can, though, that do, they do, are much more specific and much more better guides. And that's kind of one of the reasons, you know, I'm writing these books, is to help people to understand, like, hey, we can't fix all these things that are going on around us, but you do have power, and you can take control in your life. And here's some techniques that can give you some answers that you're looking for in a world that seems very uncontrolled right now.
Exactly what are daydreams, Kayla?
Daydreams are when you really take control and you're going to visualize and fantasize about what could be. And there were so many great inventors and entrepreneurs and still are that use this. I think even Google encourages their employees to daydream every day, to take time out of their work to daydream. And they really believe, I think 3M does too, if I remember right. A lot of companies understand the power of daydreams. And when you give the mind a little bit of time to rest and just fantasize and not be focused on solving the problem, but just looking at it, it allows your mind to go further and out of the constructs of just the logical thought and into the global consciousness and onward to come up with inventive and different ideas. So you can do this just like Edison did and Einstein and great inventors today, where you set aside 10 minutes and you say, okay, I've got this problem, this thing I'm working on or that I want to figure out. You set the timer on your phone for 10 minutes, and you go into a relaxed meditative state saying, you know, higher self or whatever you want to say, please help me. I'm trying to find, you know, a different answer or solution to this problem. And you allow your mind just to kind of go.
Let it take it away. Kayla, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back with more, and we'll take phone calls and interpret dreams next on Coast to Coast AM.